Good morning. Today's Daf Mem Metziah Nun. We're going to be starting Mem Tes Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the mission. We're going to introduce ourselves to the Isser of Hona'ah. Torah, the end of Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Bahar introduces us to an idea that you cannot be misaneh. And that means to say that you can't defraud. Somebody is going to be selling an item, so he should be selling the item at market value. Fair market value. I've been receiving questions for many years in terms of who establishes fair market value. And the answer is very simple, the market. The market establishes what is fair market value. Now, well, going into what fair market value is going to be obviously a profit for the seller, profit for the manufacturer. In other words, whatever goes into the sausage, that's the fair market value. And if you're selling sausages, which Jews wouldn't be doing, but Anyway, you understand. Once we have established that there is a fair market value, so now what you do is that what you can't do is that you cannot oversell or undersell. Now, overselling would be obviously a benefit to the seller. Underselling would be a benefit for the buyer. And what the Torah is looking to do is to protect both buyer and seller. And the Torah says is that if you overcharge or if you undercharge, where somebody is going to be, you know, what we would say in our vernacular, ripped off. So then under those circumstances, the Torah says you violated an Isser in the Torah. The Isser is called Ona'ah. Ona'ah with an Aleph. Okay, so this is an Isser in the Torah. And what we're going to be given now is the Torah Shebaal Peh. Meaning the Torah just simply says don't rip somebody off. But after that point in time, the Torah doesn't give anything in terms of numbers and where are we. So what are we going to see in the course of today's daf? We're going to see numbers. In terms of what is considered to be "quote unquote" ripped off. Okay, so if I may, what I'm going to do now is the following, and that is I'm going to give away the end of the Gemara right here at the beginning. We haven't even read a Mishnah yet, but it is just so helpful to understand and operate within the given numbers that I'm about to provide, so that when we run through the Gemara today is going to be complicated. I have to admit, but what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to go past all the hurdles. There are a lot of hurdles today. We'll get to the punchline, and then we'll work backwards. And then we'll start with the Mishnah, and then we'll go through the Gemara's discussion. Okay, so first of all, the magic number regarding Ona'ah is a 6. Okay, and if you like fractions, fractionally speaking, so that's 16%. It's not exactly 16%. In other words, the 6 just continues ad infinitum. But okay, however you want to express it, 1 over 6 or 16%, that is the shear. Now, what does that mean? Anything less than 16% in terms of an overcharge or an undercharge is going to be under Ona'ah. Under Ona'ah, what we're going to say is that there's Mechila. We're going to say it, I'll show you Rashi today, is going to say it. Effectively, the Gemara says it as well. And that is that you're Mochel, right? Who was ever over an undercharge, let's say, for example, 15%, so that's under Ona'ah, and we're going to assume Mechila. Okay, again, I'm oversimplifying, but I'm just right now at this point in time, I'm just presenting the basics. Okay, so fine. So that is under a 6. There is discussion amongst the Rishonim. If I over or undercharged under a 6, is there even an Isser altogether? In other words, does the Torah allow for just simply what we would call a margin of error? Or just some range, which is acceptable range, or no? Maybe if I'm charging 15% over market value, that's an Isser. It just happens to be that there's not going to be any refunding whatsoever. Okay, but you understand, though. In other words, so category number 1 is going to be under a 6. Category number 2 is exactly a 6. The item was worth $6 and I charged $7. That is exactly a 6 above its market value, its fair market value. And under those circumstances, so what happens when you, so number 1, you violated the Isser and the Torah of Ona'ah. And as we're going to be seeing over the course of today's daf, so now what happens is that the Mekach goes through, but that difference has to be refunded. That one extra that you charge, in other words, it was fair market valued at 6, you charge 7, so a one is going to be returned. And then finally, there is Yoser Mishisos. Category number 3 is where you charge 20% or anything above 16%. So when you're Yoser Mishisos, when you charge over the Ona'ah share, so there Mekach Batel. In other words, the sale has been null and void, and the um, And the aside from violating the Torah, the sale is not even registered as a sale. And it goes back. And what we just provided over here are really the basics and the baselines. And from this point forward, it's going to get, I have to admit, it's going to get a little bit more complicated. It's going to get a lot more complicated. But the numbers actually, as long as you're happy with numbers and comfortable with numbers, the numbers are fine. They are what they are. But as you'll see in the course of today's daf, let's begin. Ha'ona'a. So we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, by the way, the pasuk itself is in Parshas Bahar. It's Perek Chafei Pasuk Kedalad. V'chisimkeru memkar la'misecha u'kanomi anemitecha al tonu ish esachiv. So the Torah says, with clarity, that one is not allowed to be mit'aneh. Or mit'aneh means to be ripped off. But you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to, how do I say this? Moneh? Okay, anyway. Right, I'll just go back to the pasuk. It's easier. Al tonu ish esachiv. So one person is not allowed to rip off another person. And oh, by the way, coming up later in this perek, shortly enough, is that it's not just financially, but it's also verbally as well. What does that mean? You're not allowed to rip somebody off verbally. In other words, you're not allowed to insult. You're not allowed to make fun, ridicule another person. Okay. Onas devarim. But that's coming up later. Right now, we're just talking about the finances. So, So first of all, the Mishnah wants to express it. The Mishnah expresses what exactly is going to be the shear of Onah. So the Mishnah expresses it in terms of a fraction. So Esrim va'arba kesef lisela. So let's say, for example, something is valued at a sela. And what you do now is you charge four above it. So a sela is going to be, if I end up charging four ma'os above 24, so in other words, 24, what is a 6 to 24, 4? So in other words, if I charge 4 above it, so now one is violating ona'a. Good. And my samut al-ahakzir. So ad kedei shir al-tagar o l'krovo. So, and now what happens is that there's going to be a window of time in which now you can go ahead and collect a refund. In other words, if in the event that ona'a is charged, so now you have the ability to go ahead and collect a refund. And you have within the amount of time that it takes to take the merchandise that you purchased and show it to a merchant or show it to a relative and then come back to the seller and say, wait one second. This, in fact, was fair market value. This is how much I paid. I paid a six above what I should have paid. And now go ahead and provide me the refund. But if you don't come in within that window of time, so now at that point in time, you are no longer entitled to a refund, meaning the kinyan stand, but you're no longer entitled to a refund. You'll have to wonder at this point in time. I'm giving away some of the Gemara that we're going to be doing a little bit later on. I can totally understand this if the one that was ripped off was the buyer. But let's say the seller was ripped off. Meaning, let's say the seller undercharged a six. In other words, instead of charging six, he charged five. In other words, he should have charged six, and somehow the buyer induced him to charging five. So he got ripped off. The seller got ripped off. So in other words, is he given that same window of time? So the Gemara is going to teach us no. In other words, I'm just giving away some of the Gemara we're going to see together. No. In other words, he's extended much more than that period of time. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Meaning the buyer who has now got the purchased product in hand, so he can literally now go and show it to somebody and say, hey, here's what I bought and this is how much I paid for it. Oh my gosh, you got ripped off. Go back there. Go demand a refund. Or again, depending on how much we're talking about above or below, what is the fair market value? Or let's say better, how much above fair market value. But if in fact the seller is the one who got ripped off, in other words, he should have sold it for six and he was induced to selling it for five, so his window of opportunity is going to be much longer because he no longer has the product on hand. And so, fine. Anyway, the Gemara is going to make that point. We're going to see it together. Now.
One drop under a six, is that okay?
One drop under a six, is that okay? So that's a loaded question. So the answer is, it's not ona'a. But whether it's okay or not okay is subject to a machlokas rishonim. Okay, the Ramban says it's anything above or below market value is going to be onah. It just happens to be that within a six, so is a range where the sale still going to be, the sale will be a good sale. The sale will be valid, effective immediately. But you can't, according to the Ramban, you cannot deviate not a penny above or below what is fair market value. Okay, according to the Sefer Chinuch, however, the Sefer Chinuch says no. In other words, that six, within a six, is an allowable range, perfectly okay, perfectly acceptable. according to the Sefer Chinuch. And where is the halacha? The halacha is somewhere in between. Meaning it's not right. The Rosh himself was the Rosh himself vacillated between the two positions. The Rosh himself says that he's not sure which position is the correct position. So, like I said, it's a loaded question. Good. It's the right question. Okay, now we continue in the Mishnah. How Rabbi Tarfon Belod Aona Shmona Kesef Me'asim Varba Kesef Lisel Shlish Lamekach V'Samchu Tigrei Lod. So, Rabbi Tarfon had a different shear, and that shear of Rabbi Tarfon was a third, 33%. The merchants of Lod were ecstatic. They loved it. In other words, what are we allowed to do? We're allowed to charge 33% above fair market value. Up to 33%. Loved it. Amalahem kolayom mutalachzer. So Rabbi Tarfon says, "Wait 1 second. That's not my entire shita. You want to hold by me? You have to hold by me. But I'm telling you that the zechus chazara is the entire day. Meaning the chachamim give you a much smaller window of opportunity to go ahead and demand refund. I'm, however, extending the window of time for demanding refund to the entire day. So." Yes, it's true that I'm allowing you to charge up to a third above fair market value, but at the same time, that time for refund is going to be much, much greater. So Amr lo yanich lanu Rabbi Tarfon bimkomeinu v'chazru ledivrei chachamim. So at which point in time the Tigrei Lod said, here's what we'd much prefer the chachamim. Meaning that we're going to go to the range of a six, but that window of time being smaller, and that for them is going to be a better position, a better financial position. I hope you're wondering right now, at this point in time, why is that better? Why is that a better financial position? Meaning that their percentage, their margin of percentage shrinks considerably, going from 1/3 to 1/6. But, in other words, the window of time shrinks. So, obviously, what you have to think about, and the Gemara is going to do some of that thinking for us, is that obviously, there's a reason why that works out better financially for the Tigrei Lod. Stay tuned. We're going to come back and we're going to discuss that later this morning.
Also, the population can override their local rabbi and say, we want to hold by someone else.
Right. Correct. In other words, the Tigrei Lod, right, correct. David's making a great observation, and that is, who are the Tigrei Lod where they could just simply elect which position to follow? We're going to either follow the Tanakhama or we're going to follow Rabbi Tarfon. Hey, let's choose. Good. That's an excellent observation. Itmar Rav Amar Shus Mekach Shaninu. Shmuel Amar Shus Maus Nami Shaninu. Okay, now the first discussion that we're going to be having today is going to be, let's call it the first of the two complicated discussions that we're going to have, and that is, what is creating the baseline? What's creating the baseline for Ona? Ona is a six. Okay, right before you came in, we went over the categories under a six, a six, and above a six. But right now, let's just keep everything nice and simple. Let's talk right now about a six. What is creating the baseline for a six? So let's say nice and easy, and that's the opinion of Rav. Rav says it's so easy. What creates a baseline for a six is going to be the fair market value of the item. The item is valued at six. Should have been sold for six. And what did you do? You sold it one above or one below. So now you have deviated from its fair market value by a six. It's so easy. Rav's position makes sense, and it's just a perfect illustration of when at which point in time now you violated the Isra of Ona. Okay, good. But now we go to the sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel says, Shisus Maus Nami Shaninu. So even before I explain Shmuel, first I want to focus on the word Nami. And Tosus does. And Tosus points out that according to Shmuel, Shmuel says, of course Rav is right. Meaning, Rav is saying what is the simplest way to formulate what is a Shisus, and that is using the fair market value of the item as your baseline, and then going from there above or below a six. Fine. But I'm also going to add, says Shmuel, that's the Nami. I'm also going to be adding that Mos, that you know it also could be serving as the baseline in terms of whether or not it's violated or not. Not the fair market value, but how much you paid. What does that mean? So, Gemara goes on to explain. Let's see the Gemara. Right, the Gemara is going to crunch the numbers. Shavishisa bechamsha, shavishisa b'shiva. So kulam lo pligi debasa mekachazlinu v'onahavya. Okay, so the item is valued at six, and I went ahead and I sold it for seven, or I sold it for five. Again, if I sold it for seven, so the buyer got ripped off. If I sold it for five, I got ripped off. And again, now because we are going at a sixth from its actual value, and again, actual value, when I say actual value, please, what I mean is the fair market value, right? In other words, because what I've heard over the years and so many people say is, well, how much does it actually cost? No, whatever. It's the market's going to tell you what it is. It's not, right, there's no such thing as how much does it actually cost, meaning there's a market, right? You go to the market, you'll find out, okay? Happens to be that this morning, I learned next to a roofer. That's a good sentence. And it happens to be that he tells me, in other words, in the roofing business, in any business, there's a fair market value of how much a roof is going to cost, which goes into it everything. In other words, material, labor, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so when we say it is a six, that means its fair market value is a six. And then you charge a seven or you charge a five. Now, if you're charging seven, that means the buyer got ripped off. If you charge five, that means that the seller got ripped off. Either way, that's a six from its fair market value. Okay, good. So now, and that's or no. And that everyone agrees to. So key pligi, so good. So now, when is there going to be a debate between Rav and Shmuel? And that's going to be the following. Shavi chimsha b'shisa, shavi shiva b'shisa. So let's say that really its value is five. And you sold it now for six. So now, did you sell it above 16% of its fair market value? Yeah. Absolutely. You sold it, here, get ready for my high math skills. You sold it for 20% above its fair market value. It was valued at five, and now you sold it for six. Okay. So now you sold it well over the shear of Ona. So according to Rav, there's nothing to talk about. According to Rav now, so you are above a shesus, batal mekach. The sale now is voided. Which Shmuel will tell you is that no. That over here, what we're able to do now is the following, and that is that we're able to work backwards. In other words, what we can do now is that we can say that, what was the sale price of six? From the price that was paid. Now, what we'll do is that we'll use that as our baseline. And now, what is the actual value of the item from the actual purchase price? That's going to be a six. And according to Shmuel now, we are in Ona'a. We're in the sweet spot of Ona'a.
Come again?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. The actual fair market of the value of the item is five. Okay. What was charged is six. So according to Rav, it's nice and simple, and that is that you well exceeded 16%. You went to 20%. Okay, batal mekach. What Shmuel will tell you is that no. What the Torah tells you to do over here is to work backwards. And that is that from the actual purchase price, that is now from the ma'os now. So was there now, how far are we from the money paid to the actual value of the item? A six. We're six.
Shmuel is consistent with fractions in general. Like when we say a chomesh, it's off the denominator, not of the numerator.
Well, okay, right. David's point, which I was going to make, but good. David's point is that throughout the entire day today, what we are going to be doing is something strange in Gemara land. And that is that normally in Gemara land, so when we talk about fractions, what we're going to be doing for the fractions is that we're going to go milabar, which means that in the Torah, when the Torah says chomesh, what the Torah really means is 25%. Okay. And over here in today's daf, right, I should have made this point at the beginning, but in today's daf, so whenever we're going to be talking about fractions today, we're going to be talking about fractions the way you and I have been taught and trained how to deal with fractions since we were kids. Meaning a six is a six, and a fifth is a fifth. It just happens to be now that according to the sheet of Shmuel, so what we're going to be doing now is that when you're going to be factoring the fraction, you can use one of two baselines. Either the amount the item is fair market valued priced at, or we'll look at how much was paid. And over here now, if the item was valued at five, but you'd pay six, and again, according to Rav, 20% overcharge. Bitl mekach. Shmuel will tell you, well, no. In other words, how much was paid? A six. What is fractionally a six of a six? One. And how much is the market value of the item? Five. So it is the six from the value of the item. That's what Shmuel allows you to do, which now means that according to Shmuel, this also would fall under category B. This would be now in the sweet spot of Ona. And I can totally understand right now, if your noodle is being cooked right now, I get it. I totally get it. So Shmuel Amrinan, sorry, Shiva, I'm sorry. I read. Mechila havia. Okay. Ushmol amar ki amrina mechila. No. What did I just do? Right, Shavi Shiva Bishiva Larav Dam Rabasa Mekach Azlinan Shavi Hamisha Bishisa Bitamekach Havia Shavi Shiva Bishisa Mechila Havia Ushmul Amar Kiamrin. I'm just rereading. I apologize. Anyway, Shmul Amar Kiamrin Mechila Bitamekach Echadelekishus Mishneit Stadim Avahechadikishus Mitzarecharona Havia. What Shmul will tell you is that when it comes to the determination of Ona, the way the Gemara says it is that it's shtus mitzad echad. Shtus from one side. Okay? And in other words, the Gemara is just simply giving us another way, is that within Shmuel's world, we can look at shtus not only from the marker of how much its fair market value is, relative to that, how much did I pay? But according to Shmuel, I could also go in the other direction as well. Relative to that which I paid, now let's go and see where we are from where I paid to fair market value. If we look directionally from that direction, and the number is a 6, Ona. In other words, we're now in the sweet spot of Ona. According to Shmuel, I have to admit, just life gets more complicated. Meaning, now in terms of the factoring of whether or not it's Ona, I have to go not only from the point of fair market value to how much is paid, but I also have to go from how much I paid to fair market value. If either one of them fractionally gets to a 6, according to Shmuel, that's Ona. And Rav will tell you no. Rav will tell you that Ona is going to be determined only from one direction. Only from the amount that you pay, the amount it's valued at, to the amount that was actually paid. And that's it. Okay, to none. And now that we have the two positions, so now let's go back to our Mishnah. Ona, Arba Kesem Esrim, Arba Kesem L'Sel Shesus HaMekach. So we go to our Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to be giving an example. Well, the item was valued at 24, and how much was overcharged for? So my love, the zavin shavi esrim esrim va'arba. So the Gemara says ushmamina shus maus namishaninu. So the Gemara says now, isn't the Mishnah giving an example of? So for a moment now, forget what I just said. For a moment, isn't the Mishnah giving an example of it was valued at 20, and you were charged 24? Now is that a 6? According to Shmuel, yes. Because according to Shmuel, what we're going to be able to do now is go from 24 back to 20. According to Shmuel. So the Gemara says, law, and if that's true, then obviously our mission would be a support for Shmuel. And the Gemara says, law, the Zavin, Shavi Esrim, Varabab Esrim. So the Gemara says, well, no, that's not what happened. What happened was really its value is 24, and what was undercharged was 4. That's the Mishnah's example. Which means that we're working from what starting point? From the actual fair market value of the item. Okay.
Which is?
The actual fair market of the item was 24. And what happened is that it was sold for 20. And now who was ripped off? Seller was ripped off. So the Gemara says, now, as I pointed out in the introduction of today's daf, seller getting ripped off is also Ona. It just happens to be, our Mishnah is not talking about that. How do I know that? So the Gemara makes this point. Mean this on a mocher, a masef, ad masai mutalach, se bechte shir latago, lo krumpa vamer, av nachman, lo shanu ela, lo keach, av a mocher lo lam chozer. So I foreshadowed this point, and now the Gemara says it, and we're going to hear it again later today as well, and I think we're going to hear it tomorrow as well, and that is, Rav Nachman says that your window of opportunity for refund, which is the amount of time it takes to go to another seller or to your relative, and then go back to seller and demand a refund, whatever that window of time is, just for purposes of explanation, let's call it an hour. Okay? I know it's not, but let's just say, just so we can converse. So you have an hour of time in order to get a refund. So Rav Nachman says that's only for in the event that the buyer gets ona'ad. But if the seller gets ona'ad, so then the seller has got an indefinite amount of time in order to demand a refund. In his case, not a refund, but in other words, give me those extra 4 that you should have paid me. Now, why? So as I already explained earlier this morning, but let's say it again, because it's mistaper. It really is logical. It's so reasonable. Because when the buyer now was cheated, so the buyer now has the actual item in hand. So he can go over to other people and say, here's what I bought, and here's how much I bought it for. What do you think? you got ripped off. On the other hand, the seller, obviously, he sold it. He no longer has product in hand. So now it is going to be, the halacha is going to be much more forgiving for the seller, in which you will have an indefinite time in order to claim a refund if, in fact, the seller was ogna'ud. So only because the Mishnah is giving a window of time, the Mishnah is clearly going from the perspective of the buyer, not the seller. So what we're going to have to do is that we're just going to rework the numbers. Ella. I know I said this at the beginning, but because I knew the Gemara's punchline. And that is that its actual value was 24. Its fair market value was 24. And how much was it sold for? 28. Perfect, perfect. That's the case of the Mishnah. The way we're illustrating it now works perfectly for Rav, meaning that it is a six above its fair market value. Fair market value is 24. A six of that would be four. The seller sold it for 28. The buyer was ona'ud, perfectly ona'ud. And now what the buyer can do now is the buyer can demand a refund within that window of time of an hour. Good. That's the case of the Mishnah. The only thing that we just did in the last 5 minutes is just simply illustrate that there is a way to learn the Mishnah that will be totally supportive of Rav and not necessarily Shmuel. Tanan. Oh, Rabbi Tarfon below no no shmona ketsa masrim varba ketsa vasela shlish mekach. Now we're going to do the same exercise again, the same mathematical exercise again. We're just going to do it for Rabbi Tarfon. It just happens to be that for Rabbi Tarfon, to be ona'ud means that you're going to be charged a third above. Now, my love. So again, the Gemara is now suggesting that what happened was is that its actual value, its fair market value was 16, and you were charged 24. Now again, is that being ona'ud? If I go from how much I paid to fair market value, yes, you were ona'ud. In other words, that is a third, but a third only from the direction of how much you paid to the actual fair market value. If that's true, then what we've done is we've supported the sheet of Shmuel. Shishmas namishaninu. So the Gemara says, lo, dezavin shavi esrin varba b'shitzar. So the Gemara says, again, what we're going to suggest is no. Actual fair market value is 16. How much did you pay? You paid, fair market value was 24, and how much did the buyer pay it for? 16. And who now was ona'ud, according to Rabbi Tarfon? Seller. So the Gemara says, min etana mocher, ema seifa amar lam, kol yom butalach, sev amar amnachman, lo shanu ela lokech, ava mocher lolam choser. So, and again, I know the Mishnah is not talking about the seller. Meaning there is ona'ud by the seller, but the Mishnah is not talking about that because the Mishnah is talking about window of time in which you can refund. Same point that we made above. See above. So, Ella, Zavin Shavi Esrin Varba, Betaltim V'Trein. So the Gemara says its fair market value was 24, and how much was it sold for? 32. That's the case of the Mishnah. And assuming that that's the correct case of the Mishnah, that obviously supports the Shita of Rav. Tanya Kavasi to Shmuel, the Gemara says, I'm going to show you a brisa that clearly is going to defend the sheet of Shmuel, and that is, Mi Shehuta Alav Yadol Yona Ketzad. Amar Chalo Shavachamisha Beshisha. Mi Nesane Lokeach. Yad Lokeach Ala Yona. Ratza Omer Tainli Mausai. O Tainli Masha Onasani. So if somebody was Ona'ad, so now, meaning, and again, when I say Ona'ad, we're in category B. Right, the perfect amount of ona'ud, where you violate the Torah, but the sale is not voided. Above a six, sale's voided. Below a six, sale stands. Add a six, you violate ona'ud, and now what? So over here in the Braisa, now what we say is that what the buyer can do is that the buyer can do one of two things. Either what he could do is he could just simply say, "Give me back my money," meaning I could void the sale, or the sale will sustain. And just give me the refunded difference. Tainli Masha Onasani. Give me that extra amount. Now, in the Braisa, it was valued at 5 and you sold it for 6. Now, that works numerically for whose position? Shmuel. Because what we're doing now is that we're working not only from the direction of fair market value to how much you paid, we're also working in the direction from how much you paid to fair market value. See? So this, Bryce, obviously is supportive of the position of Shmuel. And machar lo shavashish bechamish min nezan mocher. So you had mocher al yona. Ratza omer lo tenli mechi. Oh, tenli masha ona sani. Okay, anyway. The point of all this is that we have a brisa, and this brisa clearly is in the camp of Shmuel, that when establishing what is a six, I can go in one of two directions. Either I can go from the direction of fair market value to how much is paid. I could also go from the direction of how much is paid to fair market value. Okay. And again, by the way, now that let's just wrap up this one point of today, meaning according to Shmuel, by the way, Ona becomes complicated because in terms of establishing a six overcharge, meaning the halach is a six, right? Ona is a six. I know Rabbi Tarfon says a third, but the halach is a six. But according to Shmuel, in order to determine whether or not somebody is in Ona, so you must be looking at now in one of two directions, either from the perspective of how much its fair market value is relative to how much you paid, alternatively, how much you paid to fair market value. Now, in the example that we just gave, if I can illustrate this just a little bit better, in the example that we just gave, look how complicated it is. Meaning its fair market value was five and you were charged six. Okay. How much were you charged above its fair market value? 20%. You were ripped off. And not only you were ripped off, category C ripped off. Meaning above is Shesus, right? And Bito Mekach. So if we were to go to Shmuel, Shmuel would say, wait 1 second. No. It's not the third category. It's the middle category. How is it the middle category? What Shmuel will tell you is that I'm going to be able to look at it in one of two directions. You're looking at it from the direction of fair market value to how much you paid. What I'm telling you that you should be doing is looking at it from how much you paid to fair market value. How much did you pay? A six. Oh. What is a six of six? One. What's fair market value? Five. Oh. It's ona, meaning middle category ona. Okay, so whatever. So it becomes a little bit more complicated according to Shmuel because ona forces you now to look at it from one of those two directions. If either one of those directions matches a six, so then we're in the middle category.
Okay. One?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, okay. And I have to admit, I'm admitting, it's complicated. According to Rav's world of Ona is just so much easier because according to Rav's world of Ona, we only start from fair market value and that's our only measuring stick, going up or below.
Exactly.
Perfect. Ibayilahu, we continue now. So now, Pachus Mishus, Rabbanan, La'altar Havi Mechila, Bichle Shir L'Tagor L'Krova. Okay, the first category. Where it was under a six. Good. So if you listen to me at the beginning of today's shir, so what do I say? So what do we say? We say that under a six is not ona. Okay. So Dr. Ehrlich's question, is it okay? So again, that's a loaded question and the answer is not clear. Okay. But let's move past that point. Okay. In other words, let's just deal with the finances right now. So under a six, right? So 15%, 10%. Above fair market value. Now, well, let's put the following question out there on the table. And that is that we know that the sale stands. Are you going to be entitled to a refund within window of time? Yes or no? That's the question. So, lirabanan, la'alta havi mechila? In other words, because it's under 16%, so maybe mechila is effective immediately. Okay. And again, right or wrong, Ramban Sefer Chinuch, put that aside. We're just right now Choshen Mishpat. Right, we're just now in civil court, and we want to know: can you even ask for a refund within the window of time, or no? In other words, it was under Ona, it was under 16%, it was under a six. You can't ask for a refund even immediately. Why not? Meaning, what do we assume? We assume Mechila occurred. Mechila occurred immediately. And I know you're wondering, meaning if you have an opportunity for asking a refund, even if it is less than 16%, so then what's the difference between the first and second category? So the Gemara says, Ika. No, the Gemara says, no, there's going to be a difference. There's still going to be a practical, actual difference between the two categories. Because if you were perfectly ona'ad, where it was exactly a six, so there you have options. There, within the window of time, I could void the sale, or I could just simply get refunded how much I was overcharged. But if it was under ona'ad, the first category, so even if we're entertaining, you could get refund, but that's it. You don't have another option. You don't have an option of voiding the sale. So that's a real difference between category one, category two. So tashma. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's see. Let's see now if we can deduce from our Mishnah, if you were charged under six, are you at least entitled to ask for a refund within a window of opportunity? So me, I'm a refund, meaning refunded just the overcharged amount.
And under a six, by calculation.
That's a previous discussion. Meaning, we didn't. No. It's.
And if under a six you can ask for a refund, what is the point where you can no longer ask for a refund?
In other words, past the window of opportunity. In other words, window of opportunity is Kadesh Yira. The amount of time it takes to show it off to either a friend or another merchant. So let's just assume that that's a shear, that's a time, it's a window of time. So within that window of time, now the Gemara is entertaining that under a six, you have the right to go ahead and demand a refund. Good. So that now is on the table, and now what the Gemara is going to do, and I have to admit, this is definitely going to be another difficult hurdle in today's daf, and that is, let's take a look at our Mishnah, and let's make numerous assumptions in our Mishnah. What makes this next lines of Gemara really hard, and not a lot of them, but what makes it really hard is trying to figure out the general assumptions that are made by the Tigray Lud, by the merchants of Lud. We know what happened. What happened was is that they heard the Shita Rabbi Tarfon, and all of them moved over to Rabbi Tarfon. We love it. And then Rabbi Tarfon says, oh, but wait one second. But wait, there's more. And then he shared with them his full Shita, and all the Tigray Lud says, thank you, Rabbi Tarfon, we're going back to the Chacham. Okay, so that's what happened. That we know. Now, what we don't know is that we don't know all the details of the halachas, and so we don't know what's moving them financially. In other words, everything here is financial motivation, right? This is not emotional at all. This is strictly financial. So everything over here is financially motivated, meaning something financially motivated them to move to Rabbi Tarfon, and then Rabbi Tarfon says, but wait, let me explain. You don't know my full shita. Here's my full shita. And then all the Tigray Lud said, Rabbi Tarfon, we love you, but we're going back to the Chachamim. So now, here's the hard part of today. What are the positions of Rabbi Tarfon relative to the Chachamim that made the Tigray Lud say, thank you, Rabbi Tarfon, but no thank you? So, Tashma. Chazru, Ledivre Chachamim, Savrua. So the Bnei Yeshiva thought as follows. Pachus Mishus L'Rabbi Tarfon, Kepachus Mishus L'Rabbanan Dami. So first of all, at this point in time, the Gemara telegraphs a punch, like it normally does when setting things up, and that is that Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim are fundamentally in agreement, but just simply disagree in terms of what the actual parameters are. According to the Chachamim, the parameters are six, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's going to be a third. But in other words, for Rabbi Tarfon, anything below a third is going to look like anything which is below a six for the Chachamim. So far, so good. Now, Iyamar Pishama Pachas Mishus L'Rabbanan Bichtei Shira L'Tago L'Krovo. So, L'Rabbi Tarfon Kol Hayom. So now, if we're going to be assuming that there's a perfect parallel between the two positions, so now, let's say under a six for the Chachamim. Okay, I will call it 10%. Not because it's exactly, just 10% is a nice, easy number, and it illustrates this point hopefully really well. So 10% according to the Chachamim. If what we're saying now is that if you were overcharged 10% and you have the shear of Kadesh Yireh, so what would that look parallel structure-wise to Rabbi Tarfon? Is that at anything under a third, 20% for Rabbi Tarfon, so you have a window of refund of Kol Hayom. Okay? So if that is true, in other words, and all that, of course, is an assumption, so Mishum Hachi... So the Gemara says, so now I totally understand the Tigray Lud. Because the Tigray Lud said, you know what we much rather prefer. In other words, according to Rabbi Tarfon, his window of refund is crazy. The whole day? No. In other words, I understand that we could make more for within Rebbe Tarfon, but in other words, they have the whole day for a refund? No. We would much prefer to go the Shita of the Chachamim, where even though our ability to profit is considerably smaller, we're only going to be making under a sixth as opposed to under a third in terms of additional profit. But in other words, but now their window of refund is much smaller. In other words, they're only given the time of Ad Shi'ira, which again, just for the purposes of this discussion, let's say it's an hour. An hour is much better than the whole day. And even though we're going to lose out on the amount of profit that we're going to make, but for us, it's just simply financially better where that window, that statute of limitation is so much smaller, that's just financially better for us. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, however, Ella I amar pachus mishus l'rabban la'alter havia mechila. But if according to the Chachamim, so anything under a six results in immediate mechila, l'rabbi tarfonam l'alter havia mechila. So that means that according to Rabbi Tarfon, anything under a third would result in immediate mechila. Because again, the way the Gemara just set it up is whatever's true for the Chachamim is going to be true for Rabbi Tarfon. But if that's true, amai chazru. So the Rabbi Tarfon nichlu tveid, amai the Rabbanan kamashu lo onal, the Rabbi Tarfon avia mechila. So then why in the world would Tigray Lud ever leave Rabbi Tarfon and his position? Meaning this world would be an unbelievable place for Rabbi Tarfon. Unbelievable. Meaning I can charge anything less than a third. I could charge 20% above fair market value. And if Tigray Lud are following the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, what does that mean? It means now that sale complete. 20% not eligible for a refund.
Since when do people choose who's halakha going
to
follow?
Right. Before you came in, just right, great minds think alike. David asked the exact same question. I didn't know then. Well, okay, good. But perfect. That's something that I don't know. Anyway, so the Gemara says now in this setup, and you understand by the way what's going to happen, and that is that this setup involves assumptions, and we're going to change those assumptions. But in this setup, it doesn't make any sense that the Tigray Lud would leave Rabbi Tarfon to go to the Chachamim. It doesn't make sense. Right? Under a third, in other words, sales finalized and no opportunity for a refund. If that's the structure, if that's the halacha according to Rabbi Tarfon, then we should then Tigray Lud should be happy and never want to leave. So Misavar, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we're gonna do is that you walked into this argument with assumptions, and what we're gonna do is we're gonna change the assumptions. Misav is Pachus Mishus Rabbi Tarfon, Kipachus Mishus Rabban and Dami Lo. Mishus Vashlish Rabbi Tarfon, Kishus Satsma Rabban and Dami. And that, no, within Shitas Rabbi Tarfon, anywhere from a sixth to a third for Rabbi Tarfon is going to be equivalent to a sixth according to the Chachamim. Okay. And that means to say now is as follows, is that now, if I had a board behind me, and then we would make a chart, which really is the right way to do it. It's the right way to do it, right? Not with the board and the chart, but just in other words, you have all this information nice and organized in your head. So that means to say that we have the three categories: we have less than, we have exactly at, and we have above. Right now, the Gemara sets it up as follows: according to the Chachamim, less than, so we have mechila; at, we have options; above, or defrauded and sale is voided. Now, according to Rabbi Tarfon, here's how he would chart it. It would be less than a six, that's mechila. From a six to a third, that is, for Rabbi Tarfon, that is mid-range category. That's being ona'ad. That's the middle category. And then above a third is going to be, sale is going to be voided. That's where we stand right now. So now, with that stated, so Mitzar, sorry, I just read that. Lo. So Ihachi, but my samchu miikara. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's true, so then why did the Tigray Lud even start with Rabbi Tarfon? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Pifshot. Debito mekach l'rabbana l'olam chozer. The kevin da'amar luhu Rabbi Tarfon havi ona samchu. Samchu. So the Gemara says, because consider now, according to the Chachamim, if you overcharged above a six, meaning you charge 20%, so according to the Chachamim, sale is voided. And then, but in other words, but now let's go with Rabbi Tarfon. If you charge 20%, does the sale void it? No. Now you do have a window of refund, but that window of refund is at least they thought an hour. That's what they thought. Okay. So, but in other words, but the sale's not voided. And yes, there's a chance that they're going to come back and demand that 20% back, but they only have an hour. Huh. Rabbi Tarfon says, no, that's not my position. Not an hour. They have the whole day. Oh, the Tigray Lud said, oh, really, the whole day? Thank you, Rabbi Tarfon. We're going to go to the Chacham. So then, Chiyamalu Kolayom Chazru. Now, if you're of the position that Bitul Mekach, according to the Chachamim, is within a window, within the time window, so B'may Samchel, then it doesn't make any sense that the Tigray Lud should be happy. So the Gemara says like this, Samchu b'shesus atzma, Rabbi Tarfon mechila, L'Rabbanan no. The Gemara says no. There still could be a very real difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon, and that would be at exactly a six. Exactly a six. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, at exactly a six, so you are in the middle category of being onad, which means that you can demand a refund. But according to Rabbi Tarfon, being exactly a six, so according to Rabbi Tarfon, so a mechila. In other words, it would be immediate mechila. Meaning, I know that we said that for Rabbi Tarfon, from a six to a third, is mid-range category, but when we say from a six, we mean anything above a six. From just above 16%, 17%, 18%, from anywhere from 17%, or really, above 16 to 33%, that's where Rabbi Tarfon will tell you that now you're in mid-range category. But at a six precisely, so Rabbi Tarfon will tell you that there, I would say mechila. And the Chachamim would say, no, not mechila, meaning options. You can either void the sale. You can get refunded. And that's now a real difference between Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim. And that's why all the Tigray Lud shuffled over to Rabbi Tarfon. But Rabbi Tarfon said, okay, I hear you, but you should know, anytime you charge anything above a six, from a six to a third, so I'm not gonna give them just an hour to go ahead and demand refund. I will give them the entire day. And they heard that, and they said, "We go back to the sheet of the Chachamim." Okay, Ibai Lahu. All right, so what just happened now in the last 15 minutes of the daf? So it really was complicated. Meaning, what the Gemara entertained is the following question, and that is, according to the Chachamim, if I charge less than a six, 10% above, so is there going to be a window of opportunity to go ahead and demand a refund? Meaning, the sale's finalized. That part we know. But in other words, is there at least a window to demand refund, yes or no? And at this point in time, the Gemara says it's undetermined. This question is left unresolved. E bayilahu. Okay, we have one more question to ask for today, and that'll be it. And that'll be the end of today. So e bayilahu bitul mekach l'rabbanan la'olam chozer odilma b'chdei shir l'tagro l'krovo. Now, bitul mekach, above a six, according to the Chachamim. So we know that the sale is voided. Is there a window of time in which sale is going to be voided, or no? So intim salamar bichtei shir l'tagol l'krovo. So the Gemara says if there's a window of time, ma'ika bein shesus li yasar shesus. So ika, the Gemara says, now if we're going to assume that there is a window of time above a six, so then what's the difference between above a six and exactly six? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. Ilu shesus mishin esana chozer v'ilu biyasar shesus shneim chozer. If it's exactly a shesus, only the one who was defrauded, only he will have the right and the ability to exercise a refund. If, however, it's above a six, so then both parties can go ahead and demand the sale be voided. Tashma, chazor l'divrei chachamim. And once again, what do? We turn once again to the Tigray Lud. And again, because what we know is that they hear Rabbi Tarfon, they gravitate towards Rabbi Tarfon. And then Rabbi Tarfon says, but wait, there's more. And then they went to the Chacham. They went back to the Chachamim. So, Iyamar Bishlam Bitul Mekach L'Rabban Mechtei Shir L'Tagro L'Krovo and L'Rabbi Tarfon Kol Hayom Mishum Hachi Chazru. So if, in fact, the Chachamim's position is that even above a six, there is still going to be a window of time. So then I can understand why the Tigray Lord decided, you know what? We're going back to the Chachamim. Because even above a six, there's a chance that the sale will be finalized. A chance. But if our understanding is that above a six, there is no statute of limitation, and the sale can be voided indefinitely, so then why in the world would the Tigray Lud go ahead and leave Rabbi Tarfon? Even though Rabbi Tarfon gives the whole day, but that's it. Once the day is over, sale is finalized. According to the Chachamim, there is never going to be a statute of limitation if you're overcharged more than a six. So the Gemara says, "Bitul mekach lo shchiach." So the Gemara says, I hear you, but let's be real. In other words, the amount of time that this actually occurs is so infrequent. In other words, the idea that the merchant is charged over a six, and now what the seller is going to now be able to do is void the sale indefinitely, even if that's true. Let's say it's true. But that's going to happen so infrequently that from the seller's perspective, there's no financial advantage to them. So the Gemara says it could be true, and still all the Tigray Lud are going to be gravitating back to the Chachamim simply because it's going to be financially to their benefit. Amar Rav Hilchasa. And with this now, let's conclude. And let's conclude today's daf, and let's conclude what the halacha is. And that's Pachos Mishnos Nikne Mekach. So the... So if it's less than a six, so bitul mekach. I'm sorry, bitul mekach. I said that, but of course I didn't mean that. Less than a six, nikne mekach. So what we're looking at is a kinyan, and that is that anything under a six, anything under 16%. So nikne mekach, the mekach is going to, the sale is going to be finalized. There's no opportunity for refund. I know earlier today we entertained the possibility. The Gemara over here lands at a very clear conclusion. No. Anything less than a six, that's it. Sale is finalized. And Yosef shus bitul mekach, and anything above a six, so the sale is going to be voided, and there is no statute of limitations, and you can void it both parties can void at any point in time. And then shesus, now what about at a six? So kana machzer ona. So what happens is that I know earlier this morning we talked about options. Rava says, as far as halacha is concerned, halacha says, is that the sale is finalized, but because you were ona'ad perfectly ona'ad, so now what you get to do is that you get to get refunded that amount that you were ona'ad. So, zevezeh, so bichtei shiira letago lekrovo. But zevezeh, both in categories, both in the middle category and at a six or above a six, in either one of those categories, so you have the window of time of the amount of time it takes to go to the merchant or to a relative. Tanya Kavase the Rava, the Gemara says, and I'm going to now support, show you a brace of supporting Rava. Ona'a. So when it comes to Ona'a, Pachos Mishos Nekta Mekach. Yes, Oshos Bata Mekach. Shosos Kana Umachzir Ona'a Divrei Rabbi Nasan. Good. So in the brace, exactly what we just said, according to the sheet of Rava. Rav Yehuda Anasi is going to argue, but only on the middle category, where you were perfectly onad. Omer Yad Mochal Yona Rotze. Omer Lo Tainli Michi. Oh, Tainli Masha Onasani. If you were perfectly onad, exactly a six, above what fair market value was, so you now, the one frauded, have an option of either voiding the sale or getting a refund of that six. But still, even here, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi will tell you that within the window of limitation of the amount of time it takes to go to a relative or to another merchant in order to see whether or not you were in fact frauded on the sale. Okay, so the Gemara's conclusion is very clear. Today's daf, I have to admit, complicated daf, a lot of moving parts, a lot of moving assumptions in terms of where the Tigray Lud stand, but in terms of the conclusion, very clear in terms of where we landed with Onah.